Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're off and rolling. Hour number two of the Gabe Kuhn Show is presented by the Memphis Showboats. Get your tickets now to see the Showboats tomorrow afternoon at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium against the Houston Roughnecks. Both teams do not have a win, so one team is going to come away with the first one of the season. Make sure you go get those tickets to see them tomorrow. UFL.com or 901-341-7008. Again, UFL.com or 901-341-7008. But without further ado, let's bring on David Cobb on a Friday. He is college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports on X, David W. Cobb. David, how's it going?
Well, if we had been on the phone an hour ago, I would have been coming at you live from the location of the biggest story in college sports because I've been on campus all day at the University of Tennessee for the Journalism Alumni Board. And let me tell you, there's a little bit of an uneasy feeling around the campus right now for a few million reasons, I suppose.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to have to give some background, I guess, to the listeners. I know most people know, but Nico Iamaleava has been, at least it's been reported by On3 and ESPN, that he's asking for more money from an NIL standpoint. After his first year as the starting quarterback, redshirt year as a starting quarterback at Tennessee, led them to a playoff game, although in that playoff game, 31 pass attempts, only 104 yards. He made $2.2 to $2.5 million last year. He wants somewhere in the $4 million range. That's what's being reported. His dad comes out after that report drops yesterday and says, "You didn't ask us about this. Take that for what it's worth." But he went after Pete Nakos from On3, who originally reported the story, called him a B-word. And then today, well, of course, no fail here. On3 stood by their report, and they stood by their reporting because Nico Iamaleava was not at practice in the spring game, I believe, is tomorrow. So that's the background here. Cobb, what the hell do you make of this situation? Absolute nightmare.
I know. By the way, I was assuming this is what you wanted to talk about. So
You assume correctly.
Yeah, right. Is it a holdout? Is that what we're seeing? And Nico's camp is leaking that Tennessee's being cheap? Or Gabe, and I give credit to Jeffrey on this, and I didn't totally track with him on this yesterday, or is this Tennessee leaking it, knowing full well that Nico is about to enter the transfer portal and then trying to turn the fan base against him, as opposed to Nico gets in the transfer portal and now all of a sudden we're panicking because, wow, Tennessee can't afford to keep Nico, or Tennessee lost Nico. If you make Nico the bad guy in all this and leak that he's trying to push for more money, then I think that's a strategic way to get your fan base to be okay with the guy leaving. And so it's one of those two things. It's either Nico holding out or Tennessee's just trying to get ahead of the fact that, like, hey, we're not trying to pay this guy. He wasn't good enough, right? I mean, I think that's what it comes down to.
Does it have to be or, though? Can I ask you that? Does it have to be or could it be and?
Maybe not.
Right?
Yeah, it could be both. I mean, we could be seeing the divorce unfold here in real time. And, you know, look, I'll tell you this. There's been some speculation behind the scenes that the staff has been propping up Merklinger and trying to talk positively about Jake Merklinger, the redshirt freshman quarterback, who is the backup right now, who's played very, very little last year as a true freshman. Got in garbage time a little bit. They've been trying to prop him up a little bit behind the scenes, sort of preparing for this possibility, knowing that they might go into the orange and white game where he's the only quarterback you see on the field. And so I think they've been kind of preparing for this for longer than just 24 hours. I mean, that's how long the story's been out in the public. But I don't think this is shocking to the staff. I think the staff has kind of been aware of the fact that there might be something brewing here and have been making contingency plans.
I'm operating with the assumption in mind that it's both of the things you brought up, though. I do believe, just because this happens, no matter if people want to believe it or not, people are always shopping themselves. People are always trying to see how much more money they can get. And with that, when they're shopping themselves, I don't think that there's any surprise that Nico would go up to the Tennessee staff, the NIL people, and say, well, I want $4 million instead of $2.5 million. But I will say, operating with that in mind, I do think this is a symptom of a pretty massive issue in college football. He operated probably a little less than $2.5 million worth of money last year. He wasn't all that great. Dylan Sampson was really the story of that offense. The defense really lifted them up the entire season. Nico was not that great. He was fine. He had his moments, and I think he will have moments going in the future because he is a tremendous talent. But guys, at this point, it's less about what you're putting on the field and more about what can I do to get more money in the offseason. I understand that you want to try to push up that price as much as you can, but it doesn't feel like Nico, if he is asking for $4 million, a bump up of $1.5 million to $2 million from what he made last year, doesn't feel like he should have the leverage to make that happen. And it still feels like he's trying to make it happen.
And if he did, they would have figured this out earlier. They should have figured this out earlier because you've earmarked that money for other players and other positions. And guess what? Like if you are able to match, but you don't think he's worth it, then you can use the money that you would have paid Nico then to go out and get the receivers, man. The receivers are what their problem is. I bet if you put Jake Merklinger at quarterback and then give him a couple of more quality receivers out of the portal, now all of a sudden you're talking about the offense being just as good or better with Merklinger at quarterback than it would have been with Nico. I mean, we're seeing all these top 10 quarterback lists come out. Nico's not on him, man. The dude's got a lot to prove going into this next season. He's not proven that he's worth $4 million. He just hasn't. And so, he's in a situation now where he's looking at the roster. He's seeing that there's very little experience behind him on the depth chart. He's seeing the fact that Tennessee's already invested a lot into him, and he's thinking he's got more leverage than he does. But Tennessee's the type of program that if they lose Nico Iamaleava to the portal, they'll either go and find somebody else from the portal, or they'll go out and ride with Jake Merklinger, who's a very highly touted former four-star prospect. So I don't think that's the ideal scenario for Tennessee. But also, I'm not sure it's the ideal scenario for Nico Iamaleava either, because here's a guy that's been in Josh Heupel's system for a year and a half, and now he's all of a sudden, he's been there since January of 23, right? So he's been in the system a long time, and now all of a sudden he's going to transfer and go learn a new scheme over the summer,
right,
and start somewhere else in 4 months. I don't know. I don't think that's the greatest situation for him either.
I'll say this, David. If they have earmarked $2.2 to $2.5 million, which is what is reported that Nico made last year and has made since he's been on campus at Tennessee, I know it depends on like who's in the portal, who's available. I would imagine they'd be able to coax a sitting quarterback somewhere else for $2.2 and $2.5 million, maybe even a little bit better than Nico and how he played last year. That's a significant amount of money. It really is.
Well, yeah.
I know, again, they'd have to learn the offense, they'd have to get going in fall camp, and it would be a really short turnaround. But if Nico does get in the transfer portal, I think that $2.2 million to $2.5 million could be used on a really damn good quarterback if they're able to coax somebody out of their university, their program right now.
No doubt. I mean, or do you just go kind of get your Brendan Lewis type of guy, right? Like your guy who's been steady, your guy who's played, and then have it be a competition. Because at Memphis, obviously with Lewis and Antoine Hill, you got your young guy and your older vet there. At Tennessee right now, you've got a younger guy in Jake Merklinger, And then you could go out and get somebody who's at least taken some snaps. I'm sorry, you can't go into next season without a quarterback who's really played on your roster. You can't do that in the SEC. I don't think that's wise. So it's, you know, this is the story of college football right now. And isn't it crazy, Gabe, that Nico was like the poster child of the NIL era initially?
Yep.
Because Tennessee was trying to sign him to a deal, and they had to get their attorney general involved. And, you know, basically the rules of NIL were hinging upon a court case involving Nico Iamaleava. And now here, once again, he is the poster child of this era in a totally different manner because he's holding out. And it's the most high-profile, visible example of a holdout that we've seen at this point in college sports. And he's been the story of both those sagas during this NIL era.
Yeah. How do you think this ends, David? Can you give me a you know, what you think right now? How you think this all figures itself out?
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, man. Like, the temperature is hot right now. Like, it's hot around the situation to the extent that, like, there's a lot of fans who I think are really kind of perturbed by it because we're just not used to this in the college space. And we're used to it in the NFL. And we've become accustomed to players holding out. We don't hold it against them. You know, you hope they show up to OTAs, but if they don't, then it's just, all right, well, I hope they work it out and I'll still wear the guy's jersey and root for him. But we're not to that place yet in college football. College football fans are not accustomed to this. They don't know how to make their peace with a guy who does this sort of thing. And so from that standpoint, I'm kind of worried that if he comes back, you know, the fan base is going to be lukewarm on him. Now, you can fix that real quick if you go out and beat Alabama or Georgia, right? I mean, all is forgiven. But in terms of Nico's status as a beloved figure in the fan base, I mean, that's sort of damaged as of right now. I mean, I got my old college roommate named his dog after Nico Iamaleava, right? I mean, and the dude's about to go get in the transfer portal. Like, what are you supposed to do with that?
Yeah. Another thing this is highlighting, and you referenced it, didn't really put it this way, but universities are still better at PR than players and agencies are at this point. They have a lot more experience in it. Regardless of what's actually happening behind the scenes, Tennessee is doing some good PR on their behalf, whether it's true or not.
Yeah, you got to couch it. You got to make sure your fans know, hey, this ain't an us problem, it's a him problem, you know? And they've done a good job with that because just listening to the 99.1, the sports animal here in Knoxville a little bit earlier today, I was, you know, they they're not on Nico's side on this, and they're going to carry a lot of weight with the fan base, and that's going to, you know, so the Tennessee is getting its spin out there on this. And like you said, it was kind of wild. It just happened to be in Knoxville today and on campus for some of this. And if I hadn't been tied up in meetings, shoot, I might've gone over there to practice to see what I could see, you know, but it's crazy because the game is tomorrow. The spring game is tomorrow. All these fans who've been making plans, they've been planning to go and see Nico. Well, they're not going to see him, right? I mean, unless something crazy happens here in the next 12 hours. So it's suddenly sort of thrust Tennessee into the spotlight here. And, I'll say this too. And they must feel pretty good about Merklinger. They must feel pretty good about him. Otherwise, I think they would pay Nico whatever he asked, right?
Yeah.
But
that's the thing I also have a question about. If Tennessee's not willing to give him $4 million, I mean, I know that there's sucker schools out there that'll just throw whatever they want at whoever they want, but like $4 million for Nico, even on the open market, if it was Miami or USC or whoever it is that is involved in these negotiations, $4 million? Do you think that's a realistic number that Nico can get anywhere in the country?
Well, look at what JT Toppin got in basketball. I mean, he's getting $4 million at
Texas
Tech.
That's a second-team All-American, though, right? Like, that's a different level of play. That's production.
Yeah, but, Gabe, I mean, it's football versus basketball. It should be even higher. I mean, you think about, there is no more important position in college sports than quarterback. And, I mean, the quarterback of your team is essentially the face of your athletic department a lot of times. And, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot the last 48 hours, this idea that, for so long, we've known this, but now we're seeing it. Football has subsidized everything else at universities for the most part. Men's basketball oftentimes makes money, but football typically makes way more. And football has been the reason why you have athletic department staff. It's been the reason why you have a track program, a tennis program, a swimming and diving program, softball, on down the line. But what happens when football needs the money that it generates? And what happens to the rest of the athletic department? What happens to the rest of these sports? This is like the most obvious manifestation of that I think we've seen, because if 1.5 million more to pay Nico, I mean, that's money going into football that probably used to go into swimming and diving or track and field or tennis. You know, this to me just illustrates how it's all unsustainable, what we're doing right now for the non-revenue sports and for the mid-level athletic department staffers. I just think this to me is like an inflection point and one of those things that just illustrates when we talk about not being sustainable. I don't think we're talking about college football ceasing to exist. I think college football is going to continue to exist. But what might happen is it's going to need the money. It's going to need the money that it has generated for the last five decades. And it's going to put that money into the roster. And some of these other sports are just going to become club sports, or they're just going to go away.
And correct me on the revenue sharing. Revenue sharing is not necessarily if the House settlement goes through here in the next week or so, next month or so. That's not equal opportunity money, is it? Or is it? Like what? Based on what you've seen from the House settlement, is that going to be, you know, divvied up equally, or is it going to be based on the revenue that's generated? That's where the money's going to go, or is it at the discretion just simply of the school?
I think as of now, the schools are going to have discretion on that. So you think about having to scholarship 85 football players. I mean, the lion's share, that's going to go to football.
Oh, yeah.
Football generates the revenue. But, man, you remember, though, right, the outgoing administration, the outgoing Secretary of Education had issued that guidance that, hey, anything that comes from the university, i.e. revenue share, is going to have to be split equally along the Title IX lines. Well, you know, that's kind of going away, but
I think I saw it on Monday, right? Monday they said the judge ruled that Title IX it's not applicable to the House settlement.
Right, but didn't it just illustrate how we're just living on a yo-yo here?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, it's just, every week it's something different, and this whole settlement's gonna really dictate how things go. And at some schools, at Kentucky, you might see 40% of it go to men's basketball, right? But at LSU, it's gonna be, what, 85% football, 10% men's basketball, you know, 5% women's basketball, whatever's left goes to gymnastics. I don't know. Like, I mean, it's, you know, these are going to be really, really difficult decisions to make. And Tennessee likes to be good at everything. Like, they're having a little moment right now. They're good at baseball. They're good at men's basketball. Women's basketball is on the rise. Softball's always been good. So it's like, you know, you got to rob Peter to pay Paul at some point, unless you just want to be okay at everything.
I hate it here, David. Not that, like, we're lining pockets for players. Like, that's great. I love that part of it. I hate the lack of uniformity. I also hate, I will say this, like the Nico situation, I don't like how that's playing out on Nico's part. It's like, you know, in any walk of life, right, whether I'm a radio host or an NFL player, NBA player, if I go to contract negotiations, I have to have something to show them to, you know, rationalize an increase in pay. I can't just ask for an increase in pay based on what I've done before, if it's not that great. Like, I have to have done something substantive to rationalize getting $1.5 million more dollars. And it feels like more and more players have this level of entitlement about how much money they should get and how much leverage they have in these negotiations. That's not fun for anyone.
It's not. And it's a lot of it's agents. And I think in Nico's case, it could be a parent or an advisor who are in the ear, right? And so when you involve those third parties and all they see are dollar signs and they have no regard for the actual future of the player or the player's actual happiness, that's where it gets problematic. I mean, agents, not all of them are crooked, but a lot of them are. And when you get them involved to this magnitude, these things are going to happen.
All right. Now let's rewind to last night. Grizzlies versus Timberwolves. The way I explained it, felt like that first half, nice little sugar high, shoot 70% from the field, still were terrible on defense. Then the sugar crash came in the second half. They were miserable. They were miserable defensively. Offensively, I guess they were fine after that third quarter. But 52 points in the third quarter, a franchise record for the Timberwolves. They were 18 for freaking 21 from the field. That feels almost impossible. I mean, this Grizzlies team, I think we got maybe a little bit of hope with that three-game win streak they had, but I think it was dashed in that second half last night.
Yeah, look, as an avid consumer of Nerds Gummy Clusters, man, I get the sugar high reference. That resonates with me. I know what that crash is like, and you know, you're spot on. Yeah, the defense was horrendous, and it's one of those things where you would hope the coaching change would help fix some of that. I know it was largely predicated on some things offensively, but surely the defense couldn't get worse, right? I mean, come on. It wasn't great to begin with. How's it going to get worse? You would think, too, like with Vince Williams going to be playing minutes for him in the playoffs, like you would think he'd be adding something defensively. You'd think that maybe Jaren Jackson Jr. starting to play closer to 40 minutes instead of closer to 30, that would have an overall net positive effect on their defense. But it's not happening, and it's yeah, man. I'm worried. I'm worried. Like I don't see good things ahead for this team, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope they go out and shock the world tonight. But doing that on short rest after the way things went last night, it just looks really unpromising.
When was the last time you covered the Grizzlies? I have my years mixed up here.
I had Jaws. I had the year before Jaws. So I had JB Bickerstaff's lone season, and then I had
Jaws' first year.
Yeah, I had a good chunk of Jaws' rookie season. So I never covered a Grizzlies playoff game.
The offseason asks and the improvements they need to make. What's funny is I feel the same way today as I did then about what they need to do to improve in the offseason. Perimeter defense, a guy who can knock down a shot while playing that perimeter defense, guarding the best player on the other side, and a guy who's not going to be a shot chucker. I feel the exact same way, and that's frustrating. Feels like 5 years, 6 years, same exact asks in the offseason.
Yeah, no doubt. But, I mean, the frustrating thing, though, is that you felt like you might have had that with Vince Williams. But
correct.
Due to health or just the reality of the fact that this guy really hadn't played a ton of NBA basketball, maybe he wasn't as good as garbage time last season made us think. You know, that's a situation they're working through. You think Jalen Wells could continue to develop into that, but he's slight of frame. Thank goodness he's okay, by the way.
Yeah, that was gross.
And he's still young. He's a rookie this year. And so either way, whether it was going to be Jalen Wells or Vince Williams starting for you in the playoffs, you're talking about somebody who's played fewer than 100 NBA basketball games. You know, that is just not an ideal scenario. But your hands are tied. I mean, the Grizzlies have a horrible history in the free agent market. And so, I mean, if you're going to trade to get somebody who checks those boxes, Gabe, you're going to have to give something up of value to go and do that.
And they're not so good in the trade market either. Honest.
The draft is kind of where they've done their best work. But even now, it's like, man, you think about, David Roddy, Zaire Williams. Like, we hope they could kind of be what you're describing. And, you know, the track record is slowly starting to deteriorate as the sample size gets larger. By and large, there's still been some really good moves, but that you know, in climbing we trust, the motto, I don't know if we're seeing a whole lot of people parrot that like maybe we were a couple years ago.
It's worn off for sure. It is worn off.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.